Welcome, listeners, to the CPH Postcast.
That's what we are.
My name is Tia Hoka.
I'm Ray Weaver. Nice to be here. And we're going to start with a little news, as always. A little news, a little information about what's going on in Copenhagen. And then I think you have an interview today.
We have an exclusive interview, yes, with filmmaker Niels van Baer, who has been present at the latest Robert Award ceremony, the Danish Oscars.
Great, great. And then if we have time, we have our usual surprise segment. And I've got a little surprise for you today that has to do with Christmas. So we'll...
I can't wait.
It's Christmas. We talk about Christmas. But first, let's get to some news. There's a new... I don't know if you've seen it here, but there was a new advertisement made by the commercial channel TV2. It's gone viral. It was released in English on January 27th. That's the same day that Donald Trump released his executive order that blocked many Muslims from traveling to the U.S.
That was a big ruckus. Still is.
Do you remember the film? Did you see it?
No, actually, I haven't. Enlighten me.
It was called All That We Share, and it introduces us to a crowd of Danes that are segregated by economic and ethnic demographics. And there's rich people, poor people, lifelong Danes like Moulton over there, new Danes like you and I, and more. It's groups that we all, we generalize about. You know, we make assumptions about.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not the kind of person that makes
You just boxed us all up.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And they're very good. Yes. And that's good because that's what this does. Mm-hmm. But then because a number of new categories come up, ones that address lifestyles and the journey that we're all on as opposed to where we started out, as the people respond, it reminds us that despite different backgrounds, we share a lot more in common, whether some of the things are being heartbroken, are you lonely, have you been the victim of bullies. So people start moving out of their boxes and standing together. Now, you know, that to me, it was very powerful. It was very, very powerful. I mean, it was one of the best ads I've seen in a long time. So, and granted, you know, nobody has asked if they voted for DF. Which, you know, but there may be many of us who presume that we know that all DF voters are old, they live out in the country, and they don't want, you know, any party to form. They don't want to be part of the government. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, well, this judgmentalism is a two-way street, people.
Yeah? So what do you think about it then?
Well, such presumption would be really stooping to the level of a party that appears to basically disapprove of all foreigners. I mean, I think I can safely say that they're xenophobic on a meta level.
Well, but that's the thing. But the point is, we both are making judgments about them in the same way we say that they make judgments about us as being, you know, new Danes. So, I mean, their latest idea to limit the number of new Danish citizens to 1,000 a year, that's quite a drop from the 4,000, little over 4,000 that were granted citizenship in 2015. I guess makes you wonder if it's ever going to end.
Yeah, becoming Danish is not an easy thing.
No.
I mean, there's the language, first and foremost. Whether it heals you or not, it's not an easy one to learn. I mean, what's that word that always makes you laugh?
Well, you try to say fart control without laughing. Come
it's
on.
Fart.
I mean, it's fart control. I mean, I've got friends that have come from the States to take pictures of just that sign. I mean, you know,
and then you have the citizenship test.
Well, this is important stuff.
Here. Yeah, because what year was composer Carl Nielsen born in? Was it 1865 or 1870, 1892? I mean, we all know it, or maybe we've all heard it, but really, can any of us actually remember it?
No, I think that Danish tightrope walking should be the next move that we should get into, don't you? I think
we should be the next step. I don't know, reciting the Constitution, you know, word by word.
But this kind of testing, I mean, you're a younger person. It seems a little naive at a time when the number of young people in Denmark is actually in free fall. I mean, you know, they're you know, it's a decreasing birth rate, more pensioners than ever before. The future government is going to be hard pressed to maintain the generous welfare state that all of us, especially Danes, become used to.
Well, now maybe those 19,323 who are given citizenship back in 2000, maybe that was too many, but when will Dansk Folkeparti be happy? Well, quite possibly at this very moment.
Okay, why?
Because it has been confirmed that a record number of asylum seekers left Denmark voluntarily last year.
Really?
I mean, that's fantastic news for them.
You got numbers to back it up. I know you do.
Yes. According to the UN's Danish Office for Migration, the IOM, 532 asylum seekers returned home last year.
Okay.
That's more than double the number in 2015.
Okay.
And about 75% of these leave before their asylum cases have been processed. Mm-hmm. And the IOM contends this is probably because Denmark turned out to be, well, not the country they thought it was going to be.
Well, yeah, I could see that. Rotting away in asylum centers and trying to remember the birth date of obscure composers probably is not what they had in mind when they risked their lives across the Mediterranean to come here. So yeah, there's a lot of arguments on both sides, but I think that I can see why. You know, in my case, I remember taking that citizenship class, and I can't remember anything from it.
No.
I can't.
Well,
can
I
you?
Mean, it has been said, I haven't taken the test, but it has been said that even Danes failed the test.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a tough test.
It is hard.
It's absurd.
It is hard.
Yeah.
But, and my argument with it, and I'm sure we can discuss this again at a later date, but my argument was, is I didn't learn a single thing about how to live in Danish society, about how to be part of it, how to relate to the people here. I learned about Carl Nielsen and painters from Skagen and, you know, all very interesting stuff, but not exactly vital to the lifestyle here.
Well, maybe we should try to get someone and sit down with them and talk about who exactly is that puts together these tests.
That's a good idea.
We should call someone and ask, you know, who are the people or who is the person, if it's one guy or one woman, mm-hmm. putting together these
questions. But see, that's why you're the smart one here. That's because you come up with these ideas. But,
listeners, we need your help with this.
But do you remember what month this is? What month are we moving into?
It's February.
February, yes, yes.
No. And, okay, yes, I think I know where you're going at this.
Okay.
Let me ask you something.
All right.
I love this month because it's my, you know, my birthday's coming up.
Your birthday's coming up, yeah.
But is February a sexy month to you?
Why are you asking me whether February is a sexy month?
Well, you know, because Valentine's Day is coming up. And also the weather conditions are perfect for cozy candlelight cuddling, maybe?
Cozy candlelight? Did you alliteration there?
Oh,
that was pretty
wasn't
nice.
That good? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But on the other hand, you've got, you know, disease waiting around every corner and weather so cold that it's conducive to wearing an Inuit tent every time you go to bed.
Yeah, okay. But I see a but. I can see in your eyes there's a but, yeah.
But there's no disputing what the entertainment industry think.
Okay.
Underneath all these layers of clothing were basically Krakatoa and Vesuvius waiting to explode. How else can you explain all the hype and the lineup at the cinema and theaters this month?
I'm really afraid of where you're going with this. I can feel it coming.
Ray, I'm not sure that you know, but 50 Shades Darker is coming up. And that is the sequel to 50 Shades of Grey. Which I know you haven't read
and have no desire to watch.
I've
missed that one somehow.
But first off, let's take 50 Shades Darker. Anastasia Romanov, or whatever her name is back for another round of getting flogged along with some dead horses. And listen, I've got no objection to Boy Meets Girl, but do they really need the trilogy, though, to tell this story? I mean, it's not Lord of the Rings. It's just because this one has, you know, the promise of it being very sexy.
Okay.
Sexy beyond belief.
All right, well, you know.
And it's surprisingly not. And let me tell you why.
Surprisingly not. Okay, tell me why.
I'm hyped as well, but I'm hyped because of the hype.
Okay.
I'm not hyped because this 50 Shades of Grey trilogy is basically based on Twilight.
Oh, yeah.
The
I remember
author.
It wasn't one of those things that started out as what's called fan fiction, and then it...
Yes, author is the biggest fangirl.
Okay, all right.
So that's all that we need to know.
All right, well, maybe more intriguing for you. I don't know. Let me try to help. You know, it could be intriguing and maybe a little bit more racier, sexier. There are two plays being shown in the English language theater world here in Copenhagen. First of all, by no means prematurely, sorry, I couldn't resist. Anyway, is Venus in Furs. It's the tale of a sadomasochistic actress auditioning for a director who is inclined to submission.
Oh, I like that.
It has nothing to do with how the podcast came together. But anyway, the Down the Rabbit Hole production has cast four actors in two roles, and that gives the audience four possible lineups on any given night. But before we go on, let's point out that this is not a show that you're going to find at the rougher end of Eastgather, where you find a lot of interesting things, I might add. So I hear. I myself have no experience with it. Other people have told me. But anyway, this particular play is at a new venue. It's called the House of International Theater, right at Huset in Copenhagen on Rondestræde, right there.
Okay.
Okay.
We have 50 Shades Darker. We have this fantastic theater piece, Venus in Ferns.
Mm-hmm.
Venus in Furs, which is also a song.
Yes, it is. Yes.
By Lou Reed.
It's a Lou Reed song.
So what do you think, Ray? Should we get a group of friends together, book front row seats, and make it cycling shorts only?
That may be the biggest no that I could ever give you. But Venus in Furs is playing from February 8th to the 25th. Tickets cost only 150 krona and are available from rabbithole.dk. So, you know, it could be fun. I actually wouldn't mind seeing that. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And we
have something else as well.
There was another one. You got that?
Yes. It was waiting in the wings of an English country mansion, as it turns out, is That Theater's After Miss Julie.
Okay.
An erotic reworking okay. of the August Strindberg classic at Kunten Theater.
Oh, is that what that's going to be? Okay.
Now, the dramatis personae sounds familiar somehow. Chauffeur, maid, lady of the manor. Like we've been here before.
Yeah, we've seen this film a few times.
But throw in the setting, the eve of Winston Churchill's defeat in the 1945 general election, and you've got dramatic dynamite at your disposal.
Okay, now wait a minute. Churchill, help me out with my history here. He won the war, but he lost the election?
Yes. So basically the Brits voted for a new world order.
Okay.
And they got it. The National Health Service was born, and basically, Churchill was left to lick his wounds. You could regard this play as a prelude to the Netflix series The Crown, but with Lady Chatterley and not Lady Churchill this time.
Okay, that could be very interesting. And After Miss Julie is playing from February 22nd till March 25th. Tickets cost just 165 krona, and that's from thattheater.dk. And remember that T and I get nothing out of mentioning this to you. We just want you to be entertained.
Exactly.
Coming up next, are we going to do our... We got your interview coming up, and we have the surprise segment coming up, so stick around.
Stay tuned. Welcome back, Postcast listeners. I am Tia Hoka, and I am here in the studio with filmmaker and former architect Niels Vambe. Welcome. And Niels, you know, we've been talking about film this month, and really the whole season, spring. It's a big one for film awards, I think. And you, yourself, have been involved in filmmaking for, what, the past 20 years? And I happen to also know that you have been recently attending a very prestigious film award called the Robert Awards, or Robert in Danish. Could you tell our listeners what the Robert Awards is?
The 34th Robert Awards, to be exact. Well, the event dates back to 1984, and is organized by the Danish Film Academy, and in a way, you could call it the Danish answer to the Oscars in Hollywood.
Ah, so the Danish Oscars. But why is it exactly that it's called Robert Awards or Robert Awards?
It has its name after a Danish sculptor, Robert Jacobsen. He was very interested in movies and filmmaking and was the one who designed the small statue that is given as the award to the winners of the different categories.
I imagine that the winners are nominated by a board, the members of the Academy. Could you tell us who these members are?
I can tell you that they are all filmmakers and or involved in the film industry.
So at the Danish Oscars, which is another red carpet event. Do they read the winners' names up from little envelopes and pause for effect?
Yes, they do. And there was a red carpet, and it was flowing all the way from outside the Tivoli Congress Center through the revolving door to where the photographers and reporters were waiting to get a shot of all the Danish actors, directors, and me.
Yes, of course, and you. But what about the envelopes? Do they have those?
It's quite similar to the Oscars. They have little envelopes. There's a pause for effect, and we all drink, eat, and clap.
Could you perhaps recount one of your most memorable moments from the event?
First of all, I haven't seen so many beautifully dressed women all in the same room in my life. It seems to me that they have all had a dress fashioned together, specially for this evening.
Aha, beautiful ladies, I see. And what about the men? What were they wearing?
Most of the men were dressed in black, some in tuxedos, and some in just casual jeans and t-shirt. Also, I must say that film people are smokers. You're not allowed to smoke inside, of course, so half the party would go outside to have a quick cigarette. I was, as usual, the only one smoking the pipe. And it's really my impression that smokers have an easier time connecting with each other.
So, have you met anyone notable at the smoker's corner? Did maybe Lars von Trier ask to borrow your pipe?
No, not him. But as far as the story goes, I was standing next to Mads Mikkelsen.
Really? And how did that go?
Well, he wanted to say cheers to me. He was having a bottle of beer, and at that time I already finished my drink and had only my pipe. So I told him that we could say cheers anyway, because I had dark Havana rum flavor in my tobacco.
So you basically clinked your pipe to his beer bottle?
Yes, and my real made him laugh.
Wow, it feels almost as if we'd been there with you. What else happened?
Well, he gave me a hug.
He gave you a hug after you had the clink. That's very nice. What about other people? Have you met anyone interesting? Have you seen anything interesting?
It is so that outside there is an area just for us smokers. And outside this area, there was an older couple standing, a man and a woman, collecting signatures from actors. And they told me, because I started to talk to them, that they travel from festival to festival all over the globe and have now gathered a collection of over 30,000 signatures. I actually used to do the same when I was a young boy.
Wow, that is very interesting. And how many signatures did you gather?
I managed to get 30 in total.
Well, that's great. 30 is also a really good number. Niels Wambaer, thank you so much for giving our listeners insight into this year's 34th Holbert Awards, or the Danish Oscars. And we truly hope to have you again here on the show doing an interview about film, future film projects, or basically anything in between. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much as well. I'm looking forward.
Last week, you surprised me with one of the most amazing things I've ever heard in my entire life. It was so...
We can, I think, retitle this segment to the Amazing Surprise segment.
You know, I just cannot top the healing of the Danish language from last week. But I for some reason, we talked about it snowing while we're doing this. And so we were all in a kind of a Christmassy mood and talking about making a Christmas thing. So I have this book about Denmark, and it has the traditional Danish Christmas menu. I'm going to read this to you. It's roast duck, the roast pork with the cracklings on top, right? Caramel potatoes. Everyone loves those, the little brown potatoes. Sautéed red cabbage. You like that?
I love that.
Okay, white potatoes with the gravy, and then risalaman with cherry sauce, right? Christmas cookies and chocolate and, you know, on, and akavit and fish. And so what is surprising about that menu from this book, the Danish Christmas menu?
Okay, I feel that there's a catch here, and there was something that was supposed to be surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see, pork, not surprising, potatoes, staple at every dinner in every country.
Pork knows, I think.
Is it the elements?
No, it's that this book is from 1937, and that the Christmas menu has not changed one tiny bit from that, from this book, and probably from a book that was made in 1837.
When it comes to eating, especially, and the memories that are attached to certain tastes, and recreating those and bringing those up is so important. And if one ingredient is missing, then, you know, the whole picture kind of falls apart.
So it's not that particular experience. So for example, we were talking about Christmas. It's not Christmas without those things being specifically that way. Probably doesn't surprise you.
Do you know what the Christmas tradition in Japan is?
I have no idea.
Everybody goes to have dinner in KFC. And this is true. And the KFC restaurants are so overbooked, you basically have to, I don't know, arrange for a tiny stall available for you on Christmas Eve, like 2 months before.
Well, I'm not sure why, but that may be one of the saddest things I've ever heard in my life.
We are very much looking forward to hearing from you. First of all, we want to know your opinion.
Yeah.
We want to hear what you liked and you didn't like. We would really appreciate it if you'd go into iTunes and leave us a review.
That's right. We're available on iTunes now.
Yes.
And also, of course, through the Copenhagen Post website, cphpost.dk. If you go to iTunes, leave us a review. That helps us move up in the rankings. That helps other people find the shows. That'd be great.
And helps us also bring you anything else that you might want to
That's right. The more that you tell us that you want to hear, and the more interesting, and the more the people, powers that be, see that, hey, people are listening to this podcast, then they'll come to us and say, we'd like to be on it. And that's what we'd like to have happen.
See you next time, Postcast listeners.
Thanks for listening.